Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everybody, I'm news correspondent Noel Bard, and you're very welcome to the Young Stock Podcast, the podcast by young journalists for young readers and listeners, brought to you by the Irish Farmers Journal and supported by Husqvarna. It's been a good week on the news desk here at the Farmers Journal. We're able to give certainty to over 46,000 farmers when Minister McConnellogue announced that all valid acres applications have been accepted. It's a big cash boost for farmers in a year that they'll need every penny. We also seen the opening of BIS, the replacement for BPS. Farmers are just getting to terms with what all these new schemes mean and what it'll mean for their farm payments right up to 2027. If you're a young farmer, a young person in rural Ireland, or working in agriculture and just want to hear more about rural life, this is the place for you. To get in touch with your opinions and feedback, email youngstock@farmersjournal.ie. or leave a WhatsApp voice note at 086-836-6465. You'll want to stay tuned to hear this week's guest, Robert Lally, chat about his experience as a young person beef farming out west. Robert talked about the challenges for young people trying to get going and about his involvement in Mockra. We talked a bit too about where farming could be going in the future. But first, here's a message from our sponsor, Husqvarna. Want to transform your farm this spring? Go to the Husqvarna Open Days and Auto Mower Evenings taking place nationwide in March and April. There, you'll learn more about Husqvarna's exciting range of equipment for all your farming needs. For more information, visit husqvarna.ie, where you can find your local Husqvarna dealer. Husqvarna, ready when you are. So, as I mentioned, this week's guest is Robert Lally from County Mayo. I started off by asking Robert a bit about his door-to-beef setup.
We were farming here in Mayo, just on the Galway border there in Claremorris. A lot going on at the moment. We're kept going. We're finishers, I suppose you'd say, but we're kind of store-to-beef. We've predominantly Angus cattle. Nearly everything is Angus now, given the way it's gone. We used to kind of farm whiteheads and anything like kind of off the dairy herd or that. Back, it wasn't as fashionable as it is now, so we're finding it kind of increasingly difficult to source value stock. We're farming here in about the guts of 200 hectares, divided over three places, heavily kind of invested in, you know, trying not to overcomplicate things in our current practices, trying to utilize grass more so every year on year. Farming with the grandfather now, so it's difficult to kind of convey the message of the likes of lime and the benefits of it and all that sort of thing. So there is kind of that disconnect in that regard.
You're kind of seen as the young fella coming in that knows it all and
yeah,
telling the old fella how to farm.
Exactly. Yeah, I suppose, look, it is probably the same everywhere. We did sort of skip a generation here. So, like, I'm one of 32 of his grandkids. I'm the only one in the whole family farming, you know. I'm low down the food chain, I suppose you could say. But no, look, I've always had his backing 100%. Even after I did the green cert there, you know, we were kind of dabbling with the thought of going into dairy.
Especially there's a lot of ground there. I'm sure you, as a young fella kind of starting off, especially a couple of years ago, you would have been looking around thinking maybe it was the way to go or maybe not.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the way I saw it was, like, the first instance in agricultural college I had, it was kind of put up, if you're a dairy farmer, put up your hand. And they were like, oh, that's great, fair play to you. And if you're beef and sheep, put up your hand. And then they were kind of following with the idea that, well, this won't be your last degree you'll have to get, or, you know, your last dabbling in college, because you'll need to get a real job. So straight away from the outset, I thought maybe dairy was kind of, a lot of farmers, they looked kind of 10 years down the line, as opposed, you know, to like five or that. Like, looking to raise potentially a family off a farm is increasingly more difficult. So I suppose I thought at the time that dairy was a lot more palatable and a lot more kind of, you know, you'd achieve a lot more of a healthy work-life balance, although some dairy farmers might disagree. But given the landmass, we'd be able to potentially have another labor unit come on the farm, and maybe even two around calving and that. So, like, I kind of, from that sense, I thought that it was maybe the best forward moving, you know, it would put the farm on a good firm footing.
At that time, especially, I suppose, when things were all in the up, it seemed like nothing could go wrong. And there was a lot of positivity there and people feeding off the positivity, and a lot of people getting into dairy, especially younger farmers looking to go full time. But you stuck with the beef.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose you'd call it an educated decision. Like, I went, the idea of the dairy herd management course was to kind of, you know, ensure that I was making an education decision. So I decided to go on, and anyone we went on farm tours to, like, here in the Northwest, sure, Jesus, you know, an awful lot of farmers were kind of a bit disheartened, and you know, some of the benchmark farmers in particular. So that kind of gave me the shakes. And then again, there was an awful lot of people jumping ship and going into dairy from beef and that sort of thing. So I did, like, there's endless opportunities in farming, regardless of your enterprise. I suppose it's just kind of the way you approach things. But, like, we were coming in at, I think, to convert that, we have a 250-acre block there in one area, and there's no sheds on it or anything. So you'd have to kind of start from scratch. So I went and I did there's already good roadways throughout. I was kind of looking into the water infrastructure, the fencing infrastructure and all that kind of aspects. So I did a very, very detailed and cost plan on the whole thing. And at that time, which is what, 2015, nearly a bit in around, it was 644,000 euros with the backing of another 300,000 from the sale of existing stock. So you're talking a lot of money there.
A lot of money for somebody very young, especially.
Yeah. But the only thing is, the bank wouldn't laugh at a dairy farmer going in with his hand in his hand. A beef farmer, now, you'd get the giggle straight away, you know. So
yeah,
that's his delay of the land, I suppose. But I found that there was a lot more potential perhaps in the beef cattle coming out of the dairy herd. I thought, look, there's going to be great potential there. Low input, high output, potential for scalability. But then again, you know, even the likes of export and that sort of stuff did cross my mind at times. And, like, I think just it's very difficult to kind of plan the way I like to plan anyways, which is far into the future. It's quite difficult when the goalposts are constantly being moved on you. Do you know, there is a huge issue regarding access to finance for young farmers. And I think that is somewhat of a deterrent, because it is very difficult to go in there and say, look, this is what I want. I'm going to need the loan for 30 years plus. Do you know, I can't guarantee you that I still be allowed to have the same output that I'm currently having because X, Y, or Z, do you know?
Yeah, and I think it's even harder for you, that the goalposts, they're moving for everyone, but the dairy farmer, at least he's starting off at a better financial footing. But as you said yourself, as a beef farmer, it is that that little bit more difficult, or a lot more difficult in many cases. Is that the main kind of challenge for young farmers, do you think, starting off, is just the finance, or is it just getting a footing on the land, be it in a kind of a longer term lease, or what challenges did you come across?
The messaging for in particular older farmers, I think the messaging is there's a serious disconnect. A lot of older farmers, you know, don't kind of, in Ireland here, we like to think that this is the way it's been done for years and this is the way it'll be done for the next X amount of time. So I suppose like you need to evolve or you're only standing still. And I think unfortunately an awful lot of farmers are standing still, and it kind of irks me at times because, you know, it's a fish rots from the head down. It's important for these, you know, for the likes of retirement schemes and making these hoops a bit more flexible, so that maybe the older farmers might maybe hand the reins on to the next generation, or like, you know, instead of an awful lot of farmers there that are 50 odd and their father is still the boss, which is, you know, definitely negatively impacting the environment anyways, firstly, but like also you could say the income of the farm as a business. You know, every farm is a business and you're there to make money. And I think unfortunately, you know, the love of farming comes in prominently in that regard, most definitely, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think even with the policies that's there now, if you look at the forestry program, it does very much seem like that is maybe the new kind of retirement scheme. It is taking the land out of agricultural production. But if you are an elderly farmer looking for some sort of a stable source of income into the future off the land, I don't really think you could be confident in telling them not to go for something like that. And the Food Vision Dairy Group and the Beef and Sheep Group too, any of the kind of the cow reduction elements of that that would have been discussed, it something that MOCRA has said, and I know you're a member of MOCRA, they kind of raised the prospects of land being sterilized, in that instead of maybe less efficient, more elderly, old-fashioned farmers getting out and making space for a younger, maybe more progressive farmer like yourself, the land won't necessarily be into production in any way, shape or form as it would have been in the past. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or
I have a few thoughts on it. Look, at first of all, I know a good few farmers around that actually even, you know, planted their own forest 20 odd years ago and as a retirement fund, and the poor devils can't even get a felon license now to cut it. So, you know, yeah. Like, I think there's a serious lack of forward thinking, you know, straight from the top down. It's like it's being joked about now, you know, so commonly and openly, but like it's still not being rectified. And like that, you drive across Ireland now and you see some of the finest farms of land that have trees in them. Do you know, like, where is the sense in good productive land that had, you know, X amount of money spent on it in order to get it growing grass and everything, and some fella just decides, yeah, sure, I don't want a farm because I don't want the hardship, so I'll just plant it. As opposed, you know, I think like taking the good productive land out of circulation, it's nonsense. I think it's completely, you know, contradictory to the you know, the climate kind of and every sort of input that goes with it.
Also, it's making it so much harder for people like you starting off, just that bank of land that there is to try and get some sort of a foothold on in any way you can. It's just getting smaller and smaller, and it is being kind of attacked from all edges, be it forestry or anything else.
Yeah. And like, even look at when you're seeing land there being rented or leased even for, like, you know, 400 an acre. Like, there's no way that, you know, a man on a beef farm, or, you know, could justify paying that sort of money for land. So look at, I suppose, like, an awful lot is going to change in the next few years. It can be very difficult, you know, from the outside looking in as a young person, and like, what, 25 years of age now, I'd love to see big changes for the better in the next few years. But like, you need to get the simple stuff right. And right now, like, common sense, as the saying goes, isn't all that common. And you know, a lot of people pushing this policy higher up the food chain, they're, look at, realistically, you'd ask, are they somewhat disconnected from the reality of rural Ireland? Any kind of scheme that deters young people from kind of taking over, you know, a farm or getting involved in farming, or you're taking that land, that productive land, out of circulation, like, it can be somewhat disheartening as a young person. You know, it can maybe put a grim swing on things. But look, at I think with the leadership that's up and coming, and Macra plays a vital role in fighting for the young farmers and the rural dwellers. You know, I think once harmony isn't too far away, but it's going to take, you know, there's a lot of work is done, but there's a hell of a lot more to do.
Absolutely. I suppose a lot of your views and policy and kind of keeping up to date with the current affairs side of things and all the new schemes and that, it sounds like you definitely got a bit of that from your involvement in Macra. Is there a social side to it as well, as being a young person who, do you know, you're not going into a workplace with 20 or 30 other young people every day? You might be going out on your own, or with maybe one or two other people who you'd be probably family members who you'd be seeing every day. Has that helped in that regard?
Well, look, at like Macra as a whole, the organization is just it's amazing. Like I for one, look, at I'm the chairperson of Mayo at the moment. I'm actually going for the vice presidential role for the Northwest. So look, at I hope that goes well. At the same time, you know, rural isolation is a real thing. And like, people love to say these young ones are always stuck on their phone and, you know, their head is always down. And yeah, that's somewhat true. And look, at like the likes of Macra really kind of takes the phone out of the hand for these events and gives you an opportunity to talk to other people that you, as you rightly said, like, you know, it's only myself and another man here working away on the farm. And, you know, it can be very isolating at times. And you know, it's important to be able to talk to people and to be able, you know, to be social and like
to have some sort of a network around you.
You need support at times. And like, I'd argue that, you know, some of the most difficult jobs in the world, like particularly with all the policy changes and the goalposts, as I said, being constantly moved, it's so vital to be able to discuss, you know, how you're feeling, what way your farm is going, is there any ways I can change things to make them a bit more kind of economically viable. Like, As a beef farmer, I think, you know, everything is all about diversification now, which is great in some sense. But also, you know, once upon a time, you used to be able to rear a family on a beef farm. You used to be able to rear a family and put them all through college on 20 milkers, or, you know, 20 dairy cows. So
yeah.
I think like this whole idea of get bigger, get out, I don't know, will it have a positive impact on the environment, but it definitely won't have a positive impact on a young lads starting out or young ladies starting out and getting into farming and getting into the swing of things and trying to, you know, benefit the environment and themselves and their locality, which is huge.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of moving parts there. And for someone like yourself to be in a position where they want to go into a bank and ask for X, Y, or Z just to get themselves up and going, the banks are very much aware of how much things are changing, and that's only another barrier, as well as yourself just trying to put the plan together to know what you're going to be at in 5 years' time. Is it going to be the same as what you're doing now, or will you have to change? Yeah, it definitely is an area that there will be a lot of change in.
Like, even looking over the short period of my life, which is 25 years, you know, as from 15 or 16 on, I was saying, yeah, I'd love to be married, have the kids by 25, have the few acres dug and, you know, the babbies in the rug and the whole lot, and prepared, you know, enthusiastically to pursue a good career in farming. But I think the fact of the matter is, you know, and an awful lot of, like, farming is nearly becoming a dirty word now with the whole environmental aspect, which is, look, at it's not fair on an awful lot of farmers that have devoted their life to farming, you know, correct practices and everything, and like, never to take away from them their dues. Like, we are custodians of the land. Like, it's not like, you know, we're only here for one lifetime. The land never moves. So like, and I suppose that's something that is always at the forefront of any farmer's mind. But like, through the likes of Macra, there's some great initiatives, like the land mobility. Make the Move is actually a mental health branch, we'll say, a Macra, to bring it back, like, it's so important to have that available to you.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of different things going on there, from the businessy side to the social side, as you said. We're getting on now, I suppose. We might move on to the quick fire round if you're ready. So, straight off, is it a sprong or a fork?
Fork, all day long. Or a grape.
Coffee or tea?
Tea, all day.
I'd say this will be a handy enough one for you now, a Mayo man. Hurling or football?
Oh, sure, that's easy. Football. I tell you, talk about building a robust character as being a Mayo supporter. And
I think it's your year.
Every year is our year in Mayo. I'm cautiously optimistic this year.
Cautiously optimistic. I'd say for your own sake and maybe for the sake of the farm, I'd say stay out of the bookies in that one now. And one last one. Would you rather spend a weekend picking stones or footing turf?
Oh, I'd pick stones all day.
Well, there we go.
Would not be a man for the bog. Tried it one year.
There's Rob Lally offering his services now to anyone in the Claremorris area that needs a field cleared. Thank you very much, Robert.
Noel, thanks for having me.
Thanks for that, Rob. It's great to hear about a young person getting on well, farming on their own, and overcoming the barriers that he mentioned, which can stand in your way. Well, folks, that's it for this week's Young Stock Podcast. Don't forget, to get in touch with your opinions and feedback, you can email youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or leave a WhatsApp voice note at 086 836 6465. My colleague from up north, Peter McCann, will be with you next Monday. Thanks again to Husqvarna for the support, and thanks to you, our listeners. Until next time, safe farming from myself, Noel Barden, and from all of us here at the Irish Farmers Journal.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.